Hi, I'm Alex Bellinger, and this is Small Biz Pod on Thursday, the 26th of November. Well, coming up in today's episode of the podcast, we've got a great interview with Brad Burton of 4Networking, an absolutely irrepressible tidal wave of a character who is bound to leave you enthused. And this particular podcast focuses on networking, but also on sales and just the general issues of the problems and challenges you face and how to overcome them when you start a small business. Brad very much talking from his own personal experience. And I'm pleased to say this interview was done by the equally inimitable Uncle Spats, who is the editor of the Small Biz Pod Sales Edition. So if you like this podcast, and I'm absolutely convinced you will, then head on over to smallbizpod.co.uk/sales and subscribe to Mr. Spats's other work. Other than that, big thank you to our two sponsors of Small Biz Pod, XLN Telecom, who provide a fantastic level of service and some fantastic deals to specifically for small businesses who have broadband and telecoms requirement. They're a specialist in providing those services to SMEs in the UK. So do check them out. We couldn't do Small Biz Pod without our sponsors, so thank you to them. And of course, thank you also to Audible. We absolutely love Audible. Fantastic audiobooks, 30,000 titles for you to download. And as I mention frequently, you can download one title from their selection for free as a Small Biz Pod listener. So head over to one of the banners on the site, click on there, or head straight to audibleaudible.co.uk/smallbizpod to select the book of your choice. And this week I'd highly recommend All Marketers Are Liars by Seth Godin, an extraordinary book about how to get your story out there and get people talking about your brand or your business. Seth Godin is an absolute legend, and you can get this book for free. Well worth a listen. Okay, without further ado, let's go straight into that interview with Brad Burton.
Okay, so I'm here with Brad. Brad, I wonder if you could just start off, just give us a bit about your background and then what prompted you to start 4N.
Hi, Spats. What prompted me to start 4N? I've come from a corporate background and I actually did all right in corporate, I suppose, but there comes a point actually when I had enough sort of rowing somebody else's boat, and it's okay rowing somebody else's boat in employment, well, not when you're getting whips and it's through treacle. So I started my own business off, and I thought that starting my own business off, it would be all private number plates, spinny chairs and frosted glass and fish tanks. And fast forward 3 months, I'm sat in my box room in my underpants, aggressively waiting for the phone to ring. You know, and nobody told me about this. That's the reality of small business. It isn't all, like I say, frosted glass and that kind of stuff. And I'm there in my box room waiting for the phone to ring, and I thought, this is just cobblers. Anyway, I went downstairs to watch some Jeremy Kyle, and you can always tell the self-employed people because you know who Jeremy Kyle is. And I'm waiting there and I'm thinking, you need to be upstairs working, but I'd run out of motivation. Now, when you work for someone, it's absolutely fantastic because if you can't be bothered working, you just pretend. And you know, the great thing about that is you still get paid. When you work for yourself, not so much fun. I remember once, back sat in my box room, looking at the keyboard, going 11 o'clock. Oh, looked at my watch. Yeah, it's going to be another hour before a break for lunch. Fantastic. Listen, when you work for yourself, every hour's a lunch hour. Every day's a bank holiday. Every day's a weekend. Every day's a work day. And that's something that small business owners need to understand. That actually, yeah, I mean, the great thing about being self-employed is you get to choose which 18 hours a day you work. but, you know, I mean, listen, so with all that, I was getting depressed at home. And even went to doctors and got some tablets. I got Prozac, Fluoxetine they called. And you're going, this is just nuts. And you're hiding the reality of your business from the wife, which is actually you're making no sales. And the thing is with business, you know, if you're not making, if you're not selling anything, it's called a hobby and you should be doing it on weekends. And there's lots of people out there that are doing effectively hobbies. Anyway, with all that, I was struggling. And actually, when you work for a firm, you do your little bit. In fact, Spats, let me just tell you a bit of a story, a funny one. It's a bit like, I hope there's no vegetarians listening, they're not going to like this, but, you know, it's a bit like when you work for somebody, you're employed at a big firm, it's a tantamount to going to Sainsbury's and going up to the counter and looking at the the meat counter, and seeing a wonderful lamb cutlet and going, oh, that's very nice. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it, with some nice potatoes and what have you. So you get the lamb cutlet from the fridge, the refrigerator, walk up to the lady at the checkout, beep, £4.80, sir, blah, 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 go home, put it under the grill, potatoes, wonderful, lovely. That's what employment's like. When you work for yourself, it's tantamount to having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, put camouflage cream on, go and find a field with a load of lambs in there, take a spiked hammer, go and choose a lamb, grab it round the neck and whack it in the cave it's sculling, get a bone saw out, get all the innards out and so forth, to shave to cut the shoulder off that you want, and then putting it under the grill, and then having to have a bath, and then doing this, that and the other. All right, it's a bizarre metaphor, but for the meat eaters out there, but it's true, that's what it is. You've got to do all these things that you don't like doing.
Yeah.
You know, and Four Networking was born out of necessity. And just to clarify for the listeners, you know, Four Networking is one of these networks, the business networks. And people say, oh, there's loads of networks around. Yes, there is, but there's only one Four Networking. Four Networking is a national joined-up network, 203 groups at the time of recording across the UK. And it's the fastest-growing business breakfast network in the world ever. It really is. But it's different. It's all about being different. One of the things that I recognise is this. People buy from people before they buy products and services.
Yeah.
Now, all these business networks, it's all about business. And what you find is a lot of people go in there. You could have a web designer go into one of these business networks, and what they do, and they're dressed up in a three-piece suit and have a gold chain and a watch, and you're going, hang about, this guy's conforming. You know, 8 hours ago, he was moshing in a mosh pit with a Metallica T-shirt on. And people having to conform about what people think business is. And what we've got with Four Networking is a social business networking.
Yeah.
A social business network. And when we created Four Networking 3.5 years ago, people said I was mad.
And what actually prompted you to, why networking? What was the motivation behind that?
God, I was like a politician then, Spats, on a question time ramble. What prompted me? Low sales, no sales, sat in a box room, isolation, cabin fever.
Yeah, and what are you actually doing then? What was the business?
A marketing firm, you know. And actually, I'll be honest with you, when I get in front of people, I'm fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. People see, yeah, the passion, and they can see that, and they buy into me. Getting in front of people, that's a tough gig.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to pick the phone up, and you've got to dial. And as a small business owner, bear in mind, we go back to the analogy that I talked about killing lambs. You know, you've got to be a special sort of nutcase to like doing cold calling. Seriously, I've only ever met two decent cold callers in my life, both of which lunatics, absolute social lunatics. And you know, you're ringing people, I was counting down, because I was sat in my box room there waiting for the phone to ring, wasn't happening. So I was counting down, going, I don't want to make a call, but I did. Okay, 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. And then still not picking the phone up. So you go again, 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. Dial. Hi, is that Steve? Hi, Steve. It's Brad from Four Consultants. To be honest, we've got it all handled by a friend of mine. Brother-in-law does it. Oh, right, but do you not want to... And put the phone down. You start getting 5 or 6 of them in the morning, and you're crestfallen for the day. So it started because actually I recognised something, that I needed two things. And most small businesses in the UK only need the same things. They need people, and they need appointments. I don't care how good your product is. I don't care how good your service is. If I don't like you as a person, I'm never buying. In fact, Spats, record this one. If the seller doesn't like the buyer, it's going nowhere.
Yeah.
And what happens is in sales offices up and down the country, and I've been guilty of being in teams like this, the sales manager or director says, how many appointments have you got this week? And you say 12. Of those 12, 3 are worthwhile. The other 9 are just basically expense wasters. And what we've done with Four Networking is this. We recognise that it's all about appointments. How many times, Spats, you've got a sales background, how many times have you spent weeks upon weeks sending direct mail, ringing people, sending emails, blah, 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 to get through to someone like me, finally, and I picked the phone up by accident, you're on the phone. Oh, Brad, could we have a meeting? Yeah, hi, Spats, sorry you've not come back to you. I've been really busy with everything. You obviously worked with the last quarter and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, no problem. Can we meet in about 6 weeks' time? Because I've got quite busy up until then. So there's always this imaginary 6-week lead time in the sales process and interviews. So at a 6-week lead times, you come on your best behaviour. I'm sat there, I keep you waiting in reception for 15 minutes, you come out, and we come in, oh, great to meet you, how was the journey? Well, you know what the M3 is like sometimes, there's a little bit of the traffic, okay, no problem, 15 minutes of that nonsense. And then we sit down, and we've got an hour meeting together, And 2 minutes in of that hour meeting, you realise that I don't like you and you don't like me. And guess what? You've got 58 minutes of BS to burn through. But don't worry, Spats, it's fine because you've got 27 PowerPoint slides to bore me with. And the other thing about all this is you can't bore someone into a sale. Yeah. Think about that. You go into these environments and we've all been there, been on the receiving end or been the one doing it. Where the person opposite you, 2 minutes in, isn't buying, they've no interest in your products, and you've got 58 minutes to burn through. So what do? Put some more statistics on. That'll help. And at the end of the 58 minutes, generally it's about 35 minutes you do before you go, you know what, you can sensibly sort of back out of this now, but your decency intact. You back out. And yes, Bats, that was really interesting. That. Listen, what we're going to do is look at the 2010 budgets and we'll come back to it. It's really, really interesting. Thanks very much for your time. You've wasted my time. You've wasted your time. It's cost you an absolute fortune. And what we've done with 4 Networking is this. We recognise it's about people buy from people before they buy products and services. And we have 3 10-minute... We don't only network in the UK that does this. We pioneered this. 3 10-minute appointments within group time. So imagine this in these networking events. It's standard fare. 40 people in the room like there was today. Everyone stands up, does a 40 seconds. Hi, I'm Brad. I'm a marketing genius. We do this, this, and this, and this, this. It goes around the table. And what you're doing, it's a bit like a talent spotting competition. You write down the names of the people in that room that you want to have a chat with. Oh, I like what Spat said then. That's really interesting. So you write number one, or you know, you write Spats. And then we break for 5 minutes to go and grab a cup of coffee. At which point you go up to the people that you want to talk to and say, Spats, could we have a one-to-one, please? Sure, Brad, of course. Which number, 1, 2, or 3? And you've got written on your cards, 1, 2, and 3. So I say number one. So you hand me your card, I hand you mine. So that's, you know, you know I've been sort of tagged effectively for the one-to-one appointment. And then as you turn, somebody says, oh, Spats, I really enjoyed that. Could we have a one-to-one? Get rid of your 3 cards, then reconvene. We then have a foresight speaker, which is an insight or sales pitch into a specialist field. And then you have the 3 10-minute one-to-one appointments. And I'm telling you something, it's long enough. So rather than having to drive down the M3 for an hour and deal with all the petrol and so forth, to sit in an office to establish whether you like me or not first, what we do is we sort of get the people bit right first. And if I like you and you like me, guess what? We can proceed. And that's it. So rather than trying to sell your products and services, because quite frankly, I'm not interested unless, of course, I like you. Yeah. And that's what happens in business and in sales. You have a situation where people try to sell the products and try foist the products on people. When quite, you know, let me give you an example. Yeah. What we like to do in 4 Networking is this, and this is something that I'm sort of eulogising in my book, Get Off Your Ass. Think about this. Create the conditions where people buy instead of trying to sell. Because the days of superstar salesman sat in front of you, hi Spats, yeah, great to meet you, how's the family and kids, when actually, quite frankly, I don't give 2 monkeys about the, you know, and you know that, it's disingenuous. So what you do, you've got to create in your business, create desire, create the conditions where people buy as opposed to you sell. And I'm going to give you a fantastic example of this. The Apple iPhone. When was the last time that you heard someone go into an Apple store or a Dixon's or whatever and say, excuse me, young man, can you tell me the benefits and the features of an Apple iPhone? No, because it doesn't happen. What happens is you turn on and say, hello, mate, can I have an iPhone, please? Why? Because the sell has been done up front. The desire has been created. Yeah. And that's what we've got to do in 4 Networking. None of this selling, because quite frankly, no one's interested. Create the conditions where people buy. And I ask you, so Spats, tell me about your podcast. Boom. And that's how it works.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. And so, and what happens if you're maybe in a specialist area and people around the room aren't perhaps your, what would be your obvious target audience? What benefit can you provide then?
Spats, a classic story. Listen, an absolute belter. Over in Bicester for networking, we had, I don't know, 25 people there. And a guy came in, and the best way to describe it is he wanted a fight. Not a physical... No, it's true. Not a physical one, Spats, because I'm 16 stone 8 and I'm from Manchester and I've got a shaved head and I carry a gum shield and I would have beat him. However, he came in and he had his arms behind his back and he's walking around going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I could see this was a guy who's come from corporate, you know, some heavyweight. I can spot him a mile away. So I went up to him and said, yes, what? Yeah, he said, seems a little bit low rent. There's no one here I can sell to. I need the likes of Shell and BP, and I've got a Unilever background. Okay. So we had a one-to-one with him, 10 minutes, and he proceeded to talk at me for 10 minutes about how important it was and this, that, and the other. And a question that a salesperson should always ask, so what? You worked at Unilever, so what? I need the likes of Shell and BP, so what? You know, the fact is... Anyway, this guy talked at me for 10 minutes. And at the end of it, I went, that's wonderful to meet you. Truth be known, it wasn't. But you know, ask your question here, Spats. Where do you think we got to on the meet, like, no and trust scale? And actually, if you think about when you've got trust with somebody, that's when the magic happens in business. You know, if you're a best man, your best friend from school, you've got trust with, and he's a web designer, guess what? And then I hear there's a web job comes up. Who's going to get it? My friend, who I trust. So anyway, with that, I says to one of the guys from out of A-Shop, Neil, have you got a second? Neil came over. I went, Neil, who does your brother work for? I knew the answer. He said, at BP. Oh, does he really? What's his job title? Director of Marketing for UK. Which point, Mr. Snippy started, young man, can I have a one-to-one, please? Because I think I could help him with his cost savings. Actually, no, because earlier I was low rent. Now, had he not been an idiot, I would have actually got him around the table and said, Neil, have you got a second? Your brother works for BP, doesn't he? He's the Director of Marketing for the UK. Yeah. Can you have a chat with Jeffy? He needs an intro. So, actually, what did the guy achieve by being an idiot? Answer to that question, Spats, is nothing. You know, but why did he do it? Because he's come from corporate, and actually corporate, that's the way you behave. You behave like an idiot. You know, and when you go for a meeting, hi, it's Jeff from Unilever, the thing that's most prevalent is you're from Unilever. You know, the thing that's most prevalent is you're from Unilever. So you can't be an idiot, because you've got big budgets. But actually, when you come out alone, you're just Jeff. So forget your history, it's irrelevant. So it's all about, for me, trust. And the other thing I'd say, Spats, is this. Never underestimate people. And stop. In sales forces, they look at people. Oh, I can't sell to him, I can't sell to him. Pound notes over people's heads. Well, actually, let me tell you something. What I say to people is this. Every single person that you know knows lots of people. So what? It's not necessarily a case of selling to the person in front of you, but selling to all the people that know. You know, don't just sell to the room, sell through the room. Different way of looking at the world. But I'll tell you something. It's no accident, Spats, that we've got the fastest growing business breakfast network in the world. It's no accident that, you know, I'm on the front cover of the Business Think magazine. It's no accident. It's all because this stuff, this fresh stuff. You know what? Here we go. I was asked the other day.
Are you about to go off on one again?
I am. I'm about to go off on one. But that's, hey, listen, Spats, this is how I am. You know, I mean, I have a million thoughts. Can I just say, I'm going to go off. I just wrote a note here, Spats, about coming back to that thingy. But years ago, I used to get horribly depressed. I used to have this black cloud over me. And you know what it is now? I've not been depressed since 4Networking. Why? Because I'll tell you what was going on before 4Networking was inaction. The inability to make things happen. And now I can make lots of things happen. I've got massive resource. I've got massive team. I can make lots of things happen. I no longer get depressed. And there'd be people out there who'd be getting depressed. And you'd be going to the doctors in small business for tablets. Because you think, you know, you're depressed and you're clinic. It's nothing to do. That's inaction. It's inaction. Do something. Anyway, I digress. Right. The point is, somebody asked me the other day, a journalist, national journalist, said to me, do you think business revolves around London? And I went, stop you there. No, it doesn't. Business, in today's world, revolves around people and it revolves around the internet. Now, as a small business, somebody who's sat in an office or on their own, in fact, any business should be embracing this, should be embracing people and should be embracing technology. Think about that. I built 4Networking up on embracing in people and technology. The thing about me being an award-winning marketeer, I'm an e-brand leader. Back in 2000, 2001, I can't even remember now, I made the coffee table, but the e-brand leaders for my It's For Everyone campaign. You know, not relevant when you're then delivering pizzas 4.5 years ago, whatever, you know, onwards. Anyway, I'm waffling, Spats. Go for it.
Okay, so you've told us great about the 4N networking way of doing it. Let's just talk about networking in general and how you see that as a tool. Where does it fit in with sort of lead generation tools in terms of the cost, quality, quantity, etc.?
Okay. People say networking doesn't work. It's a bit like when people say Twitter doesn't work. And you go, what bit of you talking to people about your life and business doesn't work? Right? It's a tool. I bought a tool the other day. It's not dug a single hole. It's called a spade. You know, you've actually got to use these tools. Now, networking. Let me just talk about networking in political terms. Typical rant for you here. Prior to 4Networking came along, these two schools of thought. Loony left. Hardcore right. Loony left, nothing quite happening. You pay 15 quid, you go in there, you get your name written on a sticker. In my case, it was Brad. And then within about a nanosecond, it would then start curling up. Walking on with Brad isn't a great look, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, what happens? You come into these networks, 100 people there, and you don't know anyone. And you're like a lost child looking for the father. You know, and what do? You're looking for people that you know. You don't see anyone you know, so what do you go and do? Stand against the wall, look at your phone, check your emails. That's what you should do. Oh, look, the lady with the volivants. Fantastic. It's like Benny Hill with loads of lost children running after this woman with volivants. Excuse me, can you tell me what... is that bruschetta? Who cares if it's bruschetta or not? This is asparagus and bruschetta dillweed dip. I'm not bothered. I'm here for networking. Nonsense. Looney left. Hardcore right. You know, you pay 500 quid a year and then you're going, being talked to like a child. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to conform. And you're going, what on earth's going on here? You know, it's just absolutely nuts. You know, where's your referrals? Where's your leads? Where's your... Where's what hang about? I'm self-employed because I didn't want a boss. Nonsense. And for networking this mainstream. Listen, tips for networking. Don't be an idiot. Seriously, don't be an idiot. Because what I've seen, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear, but I'm going to tell you. What I've seen, I've been in these environments where, you know, everyone gets themselves in a bullshit arms race. Yeah. Where you just start talking complete rubbish about how successful you are on the new deal. We've just managed to land a £500,000 deal with. I'm not bothered. It's irrelevant. Stop being idiots. So don't be an idiot. Yeah. Be yourself. Be yourself. I used to put on a daft posh voice in business. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go on.
Not a chance. Right. But I used to put on a daft posh voice in business. Conforming. And what I refer to in the book as cufflinking. This is a bit that people end up conforming and doing things that they don't necessarily want to do because that's the way that business is. Let me tell you something. I spoke at a keynote speaker over at Business Northwest at the GMEX. 300-400 people there. I had a pair of jeans on and had a T-shirt. So rock and roll me, as you well know. But a guy came up to me prior to me speaking. He said, we didn't realise I was keynote speaker there. He came up to me and said, yeah, not very professional, is it? Sorry? He said, you're dressed, it's a business show. You're not dressed very professional, are you? Pair of jeans and T-shirt. I went, sorry, just let me just ask you a question. Professional, define professional. Because my view of professional means that you invoice somebody and you get paid. Would you accept that? Well, in some respects, yeah. I said, well, guess what? I invoice and get paid. Look at the keynote speakers coming up next because it's me. And walked off. What an idiot. Never underestimate anyone. You don't need a three-piece suit to be professional. You know, it's all about a mindset. It's all about a mindset.
Okay, so Brad, so you just published your book, delightfully called Get Off Your Arse.
Well,
tell us about the background, what it's about, who it's aimed at, and how you've come about writing it.
You know what, Spats, it's interesting. When I land on something, what happens is almost like a thought process in my head. I go yes, no, or maybe straight away, right? Because this is why, and this is what an entrepreneur and a business person needs to do: make decisions. I come across people that are so risk averse and constant planning, and spreadsheet millionaires. You know, you get these spreadsheets out there, and it's easy making money on spreadsheets. I've done it millions of times, and you've got to get off your ass, quite frankly, and get moving, get doing something. I was with a guy yesterday. This is a guy who's got a 20-year high level risk management, blah, 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 background. And he was going on with himself, and I said, listen, you are gun shy. You are scared of pulling the trigger. Okay, imagine, here we go, metaphor time, right? Yeah. I'm good at these. Right, imagine a bolt action rifle, and there's your target as a business owner. Right, you've got it in your targets, you just need to pull the trigger. But you won't pull the trigger just on the off chance that the round might misfire. What happens if? See me? That target? Go and get me a machine gun. Go and get me a machine gun belt of bullets, and I'm firing it all day long. If you don't hit, so what? And that's what Get Off Your Arse is about. It's a book that's a self-help book for people that really, quite frankly, don't like self-help books. Because if we were to listen to all these daft gurus who say that this, that, and other, if you follow my 3 month program, what'll happen is you're rubbish. You'll get 3,000% sales and blah blah blah. It's quite frankly, I'm not sure if you're going to last today. It might beat that one, but it's all BS. The reality is, you know, no one's going to make you a millionaire. A book isn't going to make you a millionaire. But what a book in terms of Goya, which is what we call it, what a book in terms of Goya does, what it makes you understand is actually that low sales, no sales in those early years and self-doubt is how it is. It's got to be that way. You know, if you start a business off and a friend of yours gives you a contract, hey, there you go, Brad, 10 grand a month, fantastic. And then he gets binned in 12 months' time. Guess what? That's when you go through low sales, no sales. And what it's about giving people hope in business in these tough times when actually the banks of stripes is up, quite frankly. You know, it's a tough times right now. But there's no cavalry. It's all about you. Yeah. So you can whinge about the banks and you can whinge about legislation. You can whinge about this. You can whinge about that. But actually, yeah, it's great. But you're just wasting your time. You've got limited firepower. Use it wisely. And that's what I'll tell you one of the things that probably get off your asses about. It's a bit like when you're... Imagine this in business terms. Most businesses fail within the first 2 years. And you know why? Because what happens is this. You have that first exuberance at first and there's freedom and everything. And then the reality sets in that you're not really selling anything and the depression starts kicking in because you're in isolation. Then what happens is your savings start going and eventually your wife then tells you that you've got to get a real job. That's what happens, I think. That's probably the process. It's a bit like swimming the channel from England to France. You get halfway across and you go, oh, I've got a stitch. I'm going back to shore. And you go, no. Keep pushing on. You're as far forward as you are back. And that's what happens. And this is about giving people hope. Because I'll tell you something, in 5 years, this is interesting. This is the fastest growing business breakfast network in the world ever. It really is. 203 groups, 3.5 years. Five times I've wanted to quit. Now, people wouldn't believe that if it wasn't true, but you go, oh, come on, Brad, you're so... I'm telling you, five times the self-doubt creeped in, and I thought, can I do this? I'll tell you another interesting story. My wife has been pecking my head to go and get a real job for years, right? And then we was in the garden a few months back, and we had a glass of wine, one each, I wasn't drunk. And she says to me, oh, I'm so glad you kept the business going. Eh? Well, I'm so glad, look, it's really taking off now. I went, you cheeky cow. I said, you've been telling me to go and get a real job. Well, I know that. So, you know, it took 5 years of vindication and 5 years of actually ignoring my wife. And there'll be people listening to this who'll be going through the same stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so take us through some of the themes that you explore in the book.
Well,
I've got my signed copy there in front of you, actually. Awesome, exactly. And I paid you £10 for that, by the way.
Good. And it said, spats, baby, stay off your ass. That's the thing here. Listen, the chapters, I'll just go through it. Are you sitting uncomfortably? Then we'll begin. Do something, anything. And that's, you know, when you're in any business situation and you've run out of ideas, do something, anything. Go for a run, go for a walk, just do something, anything. And one of the things that I'm saying here is if you've run out of ideas and you can't get your shots off, go and get 1 litre bottle of empty bottle, fill it up with cold water, icy cold water, and pour it over your head, over a sink. Guarantee it completely. And then people go, oh, you can't possibly eulogise about that. What's the downside? Always ask yourself in any of these things, what is the downside of making a decision? And if you do something, anything, if you, honestly, I've done it, I've been like, right, I can't get any motivation up today, blah, 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 1 litre, bottle of cold water, pour it over the sink, my God, everything that was wrong with prior to putting the cold water over, it changes.
Yeah, at least with you, I suppose you don't get your hair wet.
Yeah, well, exactly, well, I've got none, thanks for that. Chapter 3, make it happen, that's all about making things happen, because once again, there's no point in just constantly planning. Chapter 4, meet, like, know and trust, what we talked about there, it embellishes on that whole thing. Surround yourself with smart people. Now, I'm a working class lad, I don't have a qualification to my name. Well, on my CV, it probably looks like I've got A's and B's, I've made them all up. The reality is I don't have any qualifications, but I'm never going to use my CV anymore, so it's irrelevant. But I surround myself with smart people. I've got a business strategist, Tim Johnson, who's an MBA, so he gives me strategic direction. I've got Terry Cooper, who was the MD of old PLC. He's come out of retirement for me. And I've got Tamsin Garrett. She's a HR lady from, she had Goldman Sachs background and stuff. These guys surround me because I know what I'm good at. And this is the other thing as well, is actually recognise what you're good at. And the stuff you're not good at, subcontract it out. Don't do it. You don't need cufflinks to wear a shirt. Just talking about being yourself, again, in business, because too many people conform. And actually, if you're not being yourself, the person who's actually doing what you're trying to pretend, they actually live in it, will beat you to the punch every time. One of the other chapters is you can beat this one, spats, shit happens, get used to it. And actually, you know, in life and in business, that's what it does. And you need, you know, things break, people leave, and you've got to, you know, readjust your plan. There are no shortcuts. Guess what? It's going to be hard. Once again, there's no shortcuts because I thought it was going to be like, you know, first year, loads of money, this, that, and the other. And no, it's not. And there are no shortcuts. It's going to be hard. Nobody tells you this when you start a business off. Nobody tells you this. You know, technology is making the world smaller, and I'm getting older and wiser, you know. I'm away 4 days a week. I've got my little USB dongle there, and I've got my little netbook, and I speak to my family every evening on webcam. And, you know, utilise that, utilise this technology, and actually, the days of sitting in an office, you don't need to anymore, you know. Yeah. People buy from people before they buy products and services. Same principle, think about that. People buy from people before they buy products and services. I don't care how good your website is. I don't care how good your brochure is. If the buyer doesn't like the seller, it's going nowhere. Let me give you an example of that. If two quotes come in for a print job, let's say, £5,000 a piece, One's coming at five, and the other one's coming at £5,000, and you can't stand the one at £5,000, and but you like the one at £5,500, and you trust the one at £5,500, you're going for the £5,500. Yeah. So unless you want it to come down to price, make sure you're likeable. Chapter 11. I don't do chapter 11. You know, that's the Americans do, so we don't do that. We've just got a blank page on there. 10-minute appointment. You can't bore someone into a sale. I eulogise about what I call the 10-minute appointment, and that's not only in networking, for networking terms, but also in terms of real life. Yeah. You know, trying to get an hour appointment with someone, what for? And people say, well, I need an hour for my sales appointments. Look, boys and girls, I can talk the Apollo moon landings in 15 seconds, right? So are you telling me your business is more complicated than the Apollo moon landings? No. And if you can't sell me on the idea in 10 minutes, you ain't going to do it in an hour. Yeah. So really hone your message down. That's what, you know. How do you stand out? How do you stand out? That's so important that you stand out. I spoke at a SEMA, Chartered Institute of Management Accountants event recently. And halfway through for a laugh, I said, you know what, guys, I'm in the market for an accountant who would like my business. And 50 hands sheepishly went up. And they go up slower than normal people's, like bamboo. But anyway, so one of the guys in the front row said, why should he use you, sir? And he said, we're professional. Well, that's fantastic, that. Now, you have to stand out. Had he said, well, we give free biscuits away with every client, we get free package Jaffa cakes, I'd have been more inclined to use him. No, you laugh. There's a company that I work with called TLC Office Suppliers, and they do that. They give away free biscuits every single order. And let me tell you something about that. When the order comes in, right, in the office, the girls in the office are all scrabbling to get the box open. And I promise you, it's nothing to do with the 12-pack of Tippex, right, or the arch levers. They're going to get the Jaffa Cakes or the Jammy Dodgers.
Yeah.
And actually, if a superstar salesman came in, if a superstar salesman came into the office to try and get the account, unless he's giving away free biscuits and donuts, he can forget it. So you've got to stand out and you've got to do things differently. And I walk around with a pizza box, as you well know. And, you know, people think, what a nutcase. But so what? If people are talking about, yeah, that'll do. And Rubik's Cube. I look at business like a Rubik's Cube. About 18 months ago. No, it must have been longer than that. I can't remember. About 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whatever. I nearly ruined the business, quite frankly. For networking, I nearly ruined it. Because when you start a business off, it's just you. And if I make a decision to go left and I've got it wrong, I can then stop and then turn and go back the other way. When you had like 600 people all like working within for networking, and you say, all right, guys, we're all going left, and then you go, ooh, I've actually got it wrong, to then try to turn that around. You've not got a fleet of foot that I once had. And, I made a decision, which was ill thought out. But I make lots of decisions, and most of them work, but this was one that nearly levelled the business. Rubik's Cube, and I look at businesses, think about it like that. That actually, when you get to a certain level, change one site, one thing at a time, rather than going, you know, click, 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 and going, you had four sides work, and then you go, oh, well, want all six, click, 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 and now you've got none, you'd be quite happy with four. Yeah, so what you need to do is understand the processes, which, God, that kills me saying that, but I'm not a process man, but I'm surrounded by people that are. So actually, you know exactly where you're going and which way you're starting. Yeah. And then final chapter is, you know, I got off my arse, now it's your turn. And what, this is an interesting one. It covers a friend of mine called Jay. Jay's on £150,000 a year. Yeah, £150,000 a year is an international MD for a European operation. £150,000 basic. He's got but he's deeply unhappy. Deeply unhappy, yeah. He's got a wardrobe full of £175 Armani jeans, driving lawnmower that he never uses, a big house that he's never in, and he gets to fly business class all over the world. Fantastic. And get pedicures when he's over, going on a red eye. Brilliant. Deeply unhappy. He said to me, you know what, Brad, I'm actually quite, not envious, but I think, you know, you've done really well. I wish I was in your situation. Well, actually, Jay, you might do now, but when I'm going down the back of the sofa for twos and ones, you know, over the last 3 years or 4 years, whatever, you wasn't then. And that's what I call the curse of corporate, in that you've got these golden handcuffs with these people which are deeply unhappy with a lot. But actually, you know, for them to start their own business off, are going to have to take a big dip, because he's not going to get £150,000 in his first year. Not a chance. So what is he going to do? Continue to work with this taskmaster that he doesn't, people that he doesn't enjoy, and go through his life and ask yourself a question, why are you doing it? So unless he's prepared to take that big drop, which he's quite frankly is not, what's going to happen? He's going to get sussed out at one point for being unhappy and going to be made redundant, maybe get a payoff, or he's going to leave unhappy and just, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, so it's all about, you know, fundamentally it all comes back around to getting off your arse, and actually, unless you get off your arse, then nobody's going to actually... In fact, let me just ask, I'll probably end on one thing here, Spats. Have you ever been fortunate enough to have the doorbell ring and, someone at the door? You go to the door, There's no one there. Look left, look right, no one. And they look down, and you say, oh, look at that, there's a big hold all. Opening a hold all spot, you find a load of £50 notes and a load of orders. Yeah, doesn't happen. Anyway.
If we could wrap up on one thing, Brad. You're known for some of your wacky top tips that you give. Could you give us a handful of your top tips for small businesses?
Sure. Well, small businesses, send 5 letters a day out. Every day, 5 letters a day. Oh, well, who should I send them to? You work it out. It's your situation. You work it out. I can't work it out for you. Who should I send them to? Your target market. Send 5 letters a day out. You know, it just gives you some purpose to go to the post office to start looking for data. And you know, I talked to you about do something, anything. By doing so, you'll come across, oh, I didn't realise they're only around the corner. I didn't, whatever, boom. Yeah. So 5 letters a day out. And then when you're sending these letters out, do something a little bit wacky. Send it out upside down on the letterhead. Oh, I'm not doing that. It's not very professional. Yeah, okay. We'll be like everyone else. Take it from me. You know, this is all about being different, but it works. Send it out, print it upside down. And when you ring the people, they go, oh, did you realise it was printed upside down? Yeah. But, you know, and from a marketing perspective, it's quite smart. Like you say, well, that's it. It gets attention. Yeah. Look, it is all about being different. Think about it. You and your business and your capacitor. Yeah, we're a web designer. We do PHP and we do ASP. So what? Right? So what? Hi, we're a web designer, and what we do is we dress up as Spider-Man on the website because we deal with webs, and we give free biscuits away or free donuts on Fridays. Donut Friday in the office. Just do something a little bit wacky. Do something a little bit wacky. And this sounds a little bit... People think you're mad, but take it from me. You know, I built a career on being mad. I'm talking about being mad, by the way. When I started this thing off, people said I'm mad, mad, mad. And you'll have this as well. Starting a business off in this recession, doing this, that and the other, you're mad. You'll never work. Mad, 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 mad. Fast forward 3 or 4 years, and now I've been called a genius. Yeah. Think about that. For the last 4 years, I've had to put up with being called mad, 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 mad. And now you're interviewing me as some sort of networking genius. Bizarre.
Fantastic. Brad Burton, thanks very much.
Keep it real, kids. Stay out of trouble.
So thank you very much to Brad for that great interview. I must say I did really enjoy sitting down with Brad and chatting with him. He really is quite a character, I think, as he picked up from the interview there. Also, I must say I enjoyed the Four Networking breakfast meeting itself, actually. This is the second one I've been to. I do like the format of it. It's quite a relaxed format. It's very friendly. And I think there's a good level of interaction there. So that's on a personal level. I would recommend that if there's a group in your area, that go along and get involved and give it a go. Now, finally, for this episode, I wanted to encourage you to give us your views on the areas of sales and sales management which you find the most challenging. I've put together a short survey, which I'd really appreciate if you could complete for us, give us your input. And you can find that on the sales section of the site, that's smallbizpod.co.uk/sales. In fact, we'd welcome any feedback from you. You can drop me an email at unclespats@smallbizpod.co.uk. On Twitter, I'm just Uncle Spats, or you can leave me a message on Skype. And again, that's just Uncle Spats. Or you can join us on Facebook as well. If you follow the link from the sales part of the Small Biz Pod website, or do a search for Small Biz Pod Sales on Facebook, you should be able to find us.
Well, thanks ever so much, Spats, and I've interrupted him there because he's about to go into some ending music, and his taste of music is very different to mine. Pretty good, actually. I enjoy it, but it's a slight divergence from the Small Biz Pod tradition, but it's coming up anyway. I'll let Spats introduce that. Incidentally, Uncle Spats, you may be thinking, well, who is this Uncle Spats? Well, he has many years' experience in sales around the small business and in other areas, and is still doing a great job for lots of people, likes to remain incognito for the moment. Whether we'll never find out who he really is, I don't know, but he's a top guy, so hence the pseudonym. Anyway, one quick thing. I thought I'd play you a quick snippet of All Marketers Are Liars, the Seth Godin book that you can get for free from Audible. And do check it out. If you haven't taken up a free subscription to Audible, no obligation. You can get your free audio book and then leave. It doesn't matter. So you've got nothing to lose. Check this out. A little extract from All Marketers Are Liars by Seth Godin.
Thomas Matthews, the executive editor of Wine Spectator magazine, said, "Everybody who ventures into a Riedel tasting starts as a skeptic. I did. The skepticism doesn't last long. Robert Parker Jr., the king of wine reviewers, said, "The finest glasses for both technical and hedonistic purposes are those made by Riedel. The effect of these glasses on fine wine is profound. I cannot emphasize enough what a difference they make." Parker and Matthews and hundreds of other wine luminaries are now believers, and as a result, they are Riedel's best word-of-mouth marketers. Millions of wine drinkers around the world have been persuaded that a $200 bottle of wine, or a cheap bottle of two-buck chuck, tastes better when served in the proper Riedel glass. Tests done in Europe and the United States have shown that wine experts have no trouble discovering just how much better wine tastes in the correct glass. Presented with the same wine in both an ordinary kitchen glass and the proper Riedel glass, they rarely fail to find that the expensive glass delivers a far better experience. This is a breakthrough. A $5 or $20 or $500 bottle of wine can be radically improved by using a relatively inexpensive and reusable wine glass. And yet, when the proper tests are done scientifically, double-blind tests that eliminate any chance that the subject would know the shape of the glass, there is absolutely zero detectable difference between glasses. A $1 glass and a $20 glass deliver precisely the same impact on the wine. None. So what's going on? Why do wine experts insist that the wine tastes better in a Riedel glass at the same time that scientists can easily prove that it doesn't? The flaw in the experiment, as outlined by Daniel Zwerdling in Gourmet magazine, is that the reason the wine tastes better is that people believe it should.
So that's it for this episode, save for the closing music. This week I've gone for a track by a lady called Anna Popovich. It's called Get Back Home. Now, Anna is originally from Belgrade, but now resides in Amsterdam. And as usual, this track is courtesy of Iota Promenet. See you next time. Mama